Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the upper portion of Daf Chof Ches, we notice a Mishnah. This Mishnah, in effect, is the continuation of the Mishnah that we learned on Daf Chof Zayin Omer Aleph, where there appears a list of items, mitzvahs, if you will, or items that are made up of multiple parts. And the Mishnah was telling us how each part is ma'akev. You need to have all of the parts in order to fulfill the requirement. So let us turn to the Mishnah, which starts, Shiva kane menorah, ma'akvin ze ezeh. The seven branches of the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash are all necessary to be together on the menorah. Shiva neroseho, ma'akvin ze ezeh. The neros, in effect, is the cup that holds the oil and the wicks that's on the top of each branch of the menorah. So it's necessary for all of these receptacles, which are called neros, to be in place. Shtei parshios shebe mezuzah ma'akvois zu es zu. The mezuzah contains a piece of parchment on which is written two parshios of the Kriya Shema, Shema and V'hoyo im Shemoa. Both parshios must be present in order to fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah. Afilu ksav echod ma'akvon. Even one letter, if there is an imperfection or an error concerning one letter, that renders the mezuzah unfit. Dalid parshios shebetfilin ma'akvin zu ezu. Afilu ksav echod ma'akvon. The four portions that make up the tefillin. The tefillin, of course, are the black boxes that contain four portions from the Torah that are known as Shema, V'hoyo im Shamoa, Kadesh li kol b'chor, and V'hoyo ki v'acho. Those four parshios are necessary to be in the tefillin in order for one to fulfill his tefillin requirements. Dalet tzitzios ma'akvos zu ezu. The four corners of one's four cornered garment must have tzitzis on them. In other words, if one has a four cornered garment, he needs to have all four corners with tzitzis on it in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Sha'ar ba'osan mitzvah achas. You'll notice in the Mishnah we've called this point Aleph. This is the opinion of the Tanakhama that the four corners constitute, the four corners with the tzitzis on them constitute one mitzvah. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, arba osan, arba mitzvos. Each corner represents a separate mitzvah. We should just mention, we read it but didn't explain, in the case of the tefillin, just like with regard to the mezuzah, the Mishnah mentioned afilu ksav echod ma'akvon, meaning that if there's a problem with regard to even one letter in the parchments, in the writings that are written on the parchments contained in the tefillin, that will render the tefillin unfit. The Gemara asks, my taima, what is the reason for the opening of the Mishnah? It says that each branch of the menorah is ma'akev ze ezeh. So the Gemara answers, havaya ksiv behu. The pasuk that contains or that describes the menorah mentions the word havaya, or havaya is a verb form, which in English we say is the verb of to be. The Rashi quotes the pasuk, Kaftoreim ukenoisam mimeno yihyu. The word yihyu is the word in the pasuk that is the word that's part of the verb form of havayo, namely to be. So since the word yihyu appears in the pasuk, that indicates that each element is ma'akev, is necessary. Tanu Rabbanan. Before we go further, we have a topic heading. You'll notice in the outside margin in our Gemara marking system, the Shas Ozer, which is the name of the pre-marked Gemara Shas edition, the Shas Ozer, we provide in the outside margin topic headings and structural notes. Topic headings we call Nosei. Structural notes we call Mivneh, which feature the geometric forms as each new form appears in a sugya. We attempt to provide an explanation. So the topic heading for this sugya, we notice in the outside margin, will be Kfilus Loshon B'Menorah. We will see that Gemara focuses on double expressions that appear in the with regard to the menorah, as far as double expressions, as far as the psukim are concerned. You'll see the word zahav is repeated. Zahav, zahav, and miksha. Miksha meaning, zahav means gold, and miksha means from a singular solid mass. So the word miksha is a word that the Gemara will darshan. Ma bo'im lelami. What does this double expression come to teach? This is a very encapsulated introduction to the Gemara. The Gemara will be much more elaborate with regard to its dealing with the psukim that apply to the menorah. So the Braisa that we now see in the Gemara, you notice a framed section in the Gemara text, in our Gemara markings, framed sections are Tanaic sources. It says, Menorah hoisa, the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, ba'a min ho'eshes, u'min hazov. It was to be made of a singular solid mass, that's eshes, and from gold. These are noted in our markings as point 1 and 2. And now there's a comment regarding these two points. Aso min hagrutois psula. If one were to make the menorah from pieces of gold, let us say he had a mass of gold filing, and from that constructed the menorah, that would be unacceptable. Point two, mishaar mine matris. This too corresponds to what was said earlier, that the menorah is to be made of gold. Here, let us say it's made of other kinds of metal. So, kshera. Here, the ruling is that it's okay, it's acceptable. So it's interesting, we have an interesting presentation on our hands. The Braisa opens up describing the menorah with its requirements, namely one from solid mass and two from gold. But when it comes to variations on that, we see that in the case of the issue of the solid mass, there's no compromise. It's got to be from one solid mass that's banged into the form of a menorah. However, when it comes to the other materials, there's flexibility. So the Gemara asks and inquires regarding this issue. Before we go further, we want to note a marking. We have a volcano-shaped marking, or a trapezoid, and in the outside margin, the Mivneh heading explains, my shna, in quotation marks, that's the word, that's the expression that's found in this marking. Signon sheila doimeh. Kan ulahalon b'chatzotros. What we want to accomplish is highlight how the Gemara asks this question of my shna with regard to the halachas concerning menorah. And further down the page, three lines from the bottom of the Amud, you'll notice my shna is raised again when we will see a similar Tanaic source, similar in terms of the structure, but regarding a different item, the trumpets that were made as part of the Psukim in the Torah that refer to the making of Chatzotzros. What exactly the Chatzotzros did, there were many different functions that the Chatzotzros fulfilled, so we'll just refer to them in general as the Chatzotzros. And there too, you will see a brisa that precedes that volcano form at the bottom of the page with two points of halacha and two results of a variation on the opening points. So in this case, we have the Braisa opening up with regard to the menorah, telling us how it's to be made from a single mass and from gold. And then we said that if you change that, well, with regard to the single mass, it would render it unfit. But with regard to the change in terms of metal, it's still kosher. So the Gemara asks, my shna min hagrutos. Psula, why is it that when it comes to the grutos, you said if you make it from filings, from pieces, as opposed to a single mass, it's posel dichtiv. The pasuk says miksha vehavaya. In other words, the Torah insists on being made from a single mass, And in the pasuk that you see the word miksha, you also have the word yihyu. Shar minei matchis nami. Well, when it comes to the second point, hence you see the number two, the issue of the other metals, nami, it's zahav v'havaya. You have the word zahav in the pasuk, and you also have the word yihyu. So why is it that we treat the issue of grutos different from the way we treat the issue of the metals? If you say that the word yihyu or havaya indicates something is binding, just like in the case of single mass, you're saying that that is a binding point of law, so too with regard to the type of metal, in this case gold, that should be binding. So the Gemara answers, Omar kra te'ase. The pasuk uses the word te'ase, and we're referring to Shmos Chofhe Pasuk Lamed Aleph. You can see we've included these psukim on the side of the Gemara, the inside margin. You can note the pasuk and see where each one of these words appears. So in pasuk Lamed Aleph, you see, in addition to the appearance of Zahav, it also says Te'aseh. And from that word, we learn L'rabos Shar Mine Matris. This is an inclusion expression whereby we can include other kinds of metals. The Gemara asks, V'emo L'rabos Grutos. Well, in that pasuk, you'll notice the word Miksha is there. But you said the word Te'aseh comes to include other, just like I said, comes to include other metals, why not include filings as well? So the Gemara answers, Lo Salka Daitoch. Don't think thusly that we are going to include grutos, filings, the Amiksha Ksiva Havaya. The word, the Havaya word, Yiyu, is associated with miksha. So we said that havaya indicates something to be binding, so that the word yihyu is associated with miksha. The Gemara asks, te'aseh nami amiksha ksiv. Well, isn't the te'aseh word also present in that pasuk? And it could be associated with including filings. The Gemara answers, miksha, miksha la'akev. The word miksha appears twice in that perek. In Shmos, perek Chofhei, you see the word miksha appears in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, and it appears in Pasuk Lamed Vav, indicating when the Torah doubles something, it does so with the intention of saying it is binding. The Gemara asks, well, Zahav, Zahav, Nami, La'akev. The word Zahav appears multiple times, numerous times in these psukim, and if you say that the repetition indicates something is binding, so why not say the same thing with type of metal, that it should be limited to gold? So why, still, we haven't made any progress. We're saying that when it comes to filings, we are restrictive. When it comes to type of metal, we are broad. We are accepting of other kinds. The Gemara responds, Hi, my. How can you compare the treatment of the word, the double expressions that we have with regard to the issue of single mass, to the way we deal with type of metal? There is, by the way, a long answer that is about to appear. You can see that we have a long answer marking. The tuf that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text represents teretz, and a vertical dashed line indicates that all of the lines of Gemara opposite this vertical dashed line form the answer. So the Gemara explains, E amris bishlama, if you say very well that min hagrutos psula misharmini matris kshera, if you say like that approach, that in the case of filings we're uncompromising, when it comes to type of metal we are accepting of other kinds. And the reason for saying that is, in the case of grutos, we have this doubling of the expression of miksha in Parshas Truma. And in the case of the type of gold, the type of metals, we have te'aseh, which includes others. Hainu, then I can understand zahav, zahav, miksha, miksha, lidrosha. The extra words, the doubling of zahav, and the kfilus of Miksha that will appear in Parshas Bahaloscha, that's Bamidbar Perekhes Pasuk Dalet, those expressions will be available for other drushas. And we must emphasize this idea of other drushas. We have a little star, which is based on a comment found in Rashi, that draws your attention to the inside margin. That star says, the Midrasha Zu, from the drasha that the Gemara just referred to, we said that the Zav Zav Miksha Miksha is for a drasha. Our note says, the Midrasha Zu Ro'im Lechamon, we will see a little later in the Gemara, the drasha the Gemara is referring to right now, from that drasha we will see Efsharus Lishar Mine Matris. The Torah entertains the possibility of other kinds of metals. So once again, from the fact that we are setting up the psukim in Shmois Chof Hei and concluding like our Aleph and Bays suggest just two lines up, namely that Mina Grutos Psula and Mishar Mine Malchus Kshera, if we accept that, then the additional drushes from the double use of the word Zav, from the double use of Miksha found in Pashas Baloscha, will make sense, because that drusha includes the idea of the menorah being made from other metals. Eloi Amris, but if you're going to insist on what you suggested above, namely, Min Hagrutos Kshera, to suggest that Te'oseh would include filings for the menorah, and Mishar Mine Matris Psula, and to suggest that other kinds of metals will be unfit for the menorah, if you try that approach, then Zohav Zohav Miksha Miksha my Darshis Bay. What will you possibly then darshan from those words, the double or the multiple use of the word Zohav and the double expression of Miksha found in Bahaloscha? You won't be able to darshan them. The Gemara in a moment will tell you what the drusha is. So just to go over the main point, the drusha from the extra words Zahav and the double expression of Miksha, part of the drusha, which will become very clear very soon, includes the idea of the menorah being made from other kinds of metals. Therefore, that has to remain in place. Namely, we have to conclude, so as to be able to darshan those other expressions, we have to come out with the conclusion that with regard to types of metals, Zohav is not restricted. We can include other kinds of metals. That we can learn from Te'oseh. With regard to the issue of the mass and exclusion of filings, that we have to learn from the Havaya, from the Yihiyu word, which restricts, in the case of Miksha, to Miksha, to single mass. And now the Gemara reveals what that other drusha was, or additional drusha, that forced us into the position of concluding what we did. My drusha. The Gemara now gets into that drusha. Desanya. We have a Tanaic source, which you can see is in a frame. And in this source, we will deal with the double expression of Zav and the double expression of Miksha that's found in the Pasuk in Bahaloscha, which we, by the way, have included on the side of the inside margin of the Gemara. So the source starts. Kikar Zohav Tohor Ya'aseh Oysa Eskol HaKelim Ho'ele. That is, you can see, Pasuk Lamites. It says, Kikor Zov Tohor Yaso So is called a Kelim O'ele, and we darshan from this, Bo Zov, Bo Kikor. If you are going to be using the gold material, then you must use the quantity of gold known as a Kikor. That's a quantity. Eino Bo Zov, if you are not using gold but other kinds of metals, then Eino Bo Kikor. Then there is no insistence on that quantity. The Pasuk says, Gviyeo Kaftureo Frocheho, There is a girsa found in the Shita Mekubetzes Ois Aleph, which we highly recommend looking into. The Shita Mekubetzes is very elaborate, and if you go through his commentary in Ois Aleph, you will see how each one of these words, the Zohav words and the Miksha words, are accounted for. Anyway, in the Shita Mekubetzes, he has an alternative girsa referring to, instead of what the Gemara text has as Pasuk Lamed Aleph, he has a girsa that refers you to Pasuk Lamed Vav in Shmos Chof Hei. But for our purposes, we're going to go on in the Gemara as it is. The Drosha says as follows, Ba'a Zahav, Ba'a Gevi'im, Kaftorim, Ufrochim. If you are using gold, then you have to have these different forms and designs on the menorah, Gevi'im, Kaftorim, and Prochim. Eina Ba'a Zahav, if you do not make it from gold, but from other kinds of metals, then Eina Ba'a Gevi'im, Kaftorim, Ufrochim. Then there's no insistence on having those designs and shapes on the menorah. We have a bracketed section. In this bracketed section, the Gemara interrupts with a suggestion and a rejection of the suggestion. The Amal, and we'll read it straight through having said that. The Amal Nami, Bo'o Zahav, Bo'o Konim, Eina Bo'o Zahav, Eina Bo'o Konim. Why not say that if it's made of gold, then it has to have branches? Eina Bo'o Zahav, if it's not made of gold, then Eina Bo'o Konim, then you don't have to have branches. The Gemara answers that suggestion is rejected outhand. Hahu, a structure, a vessel that does not have branches, isn't even called a menorah. Pamut mikri. It's called a pamut, a small lantern, if you will. So since the Torah is instructing us to make a menorah, there is no way that even if you make it with other metals, there's no way you can compromise on the branch nature. Now, the Braisa Darshans, the Pasuk in Baaloscha, Vezeh Maise HaMenorah Miksha Zahav. Ba'a Zahav, Ba'a Miksha. If it's made from gold, then it must be made from a solid mass. Eina ba'a zahav, if you do not use gold, then eina ba'a miksha. Then the insistence on it being from a solid mass of that other kind of metal doesn't exist. We don't have an insistence on miksha. The Gemara asks, miksha de seifa lamayasa. The word miksha in the seifa of that pasuk, which is Bamidbar Ches Pasuk Dalid, you can see that we've included this pasuk also, as we mentioned earlier, in the inside margin. You'll see how the word miksha is featured with a double underline in our markings. The second double underlining, what is the role of miksha there? Answer, limute chatzotzros. It's coming to exclude the case of the trumpets. We mentioned in our introduction that there were trumpets that the Torah orders to be made, and here the Braisa features those trumpets, those chatzotzros. Tesanya, chatzotzros hoyu boim min ho'eshes min ha'kesef. The chatzotzros were made of eshes, meaning a single mass, and they were silver. Asom min hagrutos, if they were made from filings, ksherim. Mishar minei matchis, from other kinds of metal, other than silver, psulim. Notice just a very interesting structure and structural note here. The halacha regarding chatzotzros, having type of metal and the nature of the, let's say, filings versus solid mass, those two points appear here in the case of chatzotzros, just like in the case of the menorah. However, there's an opposite effect. In the case of the menorah, we said there was no flexibility with regard to the issue of filings. Here, in the chatzotzros, there is flexibility with regard to filings, as is witnessed by the fact that under number one it says, if it's made from grutos, ksherim. With regard to the type of metal, in the case of the menorah type of metal, there was flexibility, and here in the Chatzosros, just the opposite. And the type of any variation on kesef is unacceptable. The Gemara asks the same type of question as we raised in the case of the menorah. Why this different standard? What is different about the case of other kinds of metals that we say they're unfit in the Chatzotzos, cannot be made from something other than silver, dichtiv, kesef, vehavaya? You have the havaya expression in the case of the Chatzotzos and associated with the silver material. The Rashi quotes the pasuk. The bottom line, Kesef Avaya, Rashi says, Shtei Chatzotzos Kesef Mikshot Taase Osam V'Hoyu Loch. And that V'Hoyu is the Havaya word that we are referring to. The Havaya meaning a verb form of, in English we say, to be. So V'Hoyu Loch, they shall be for you. So just like in the case of other kinds of metals, you have Havaya, Min Hagruta Osnami Mikshot V'Havaya. The insistence on having a solid mass should also be expected. Why then is it stated here in this Tanaic source that solid mass is not binding? The Gemara answers, Mi et rachmona gabi menorah miksha hi. In the case of the menorah, the pasuk uses the word miksha, and we referred to this just above. We were asking, what is the role of the second miksha word in the case of the menorah? So its role is, as was mentioned, to exclude the chatzotzrots, namely, that only in the case of the menorah is there an insistence on solid mass. And that's expressed by the expression in Pasuk Dalid, by the menorah, which says, miksha hi. The menorah is miksha, he velo chatzotzros. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara continues with a Tanaic source, Kol HaKelim, She'osa Moshe K'sherim lo K'sherim l'doros. All the vessels that are associated with the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu made are acceptable for him and his generation, and for future generations. Chatzotzros, Sheros lo upsulos ledoros. The chatzotzros that Moshe Rabbeinu made were suitable for him, but not for future generations. The Gemara asks, chatzotzros mai taimo? Why is this special approach or unique approach taken to the chatzotzros that Moshe Rabbeinu made? Why is it suitable for him and not for future generations? Let us glance before we go further. We have a double underline, and that's explained in the outside margin under the Mivneh heading. This double underline represents shlavim, stages, lahazbir loma chatzotzros shel Moshe ksheros rak lo. Why were the chatzotzros that Moshe Rabbeinu made suitable only for him and his generation? So, e lemo, back in the Gemara, e lemo, if you say, Yomar kro ase lecha, the pasuk in the case of Chatzotzos says, ase lecha, lecha velo ledoros, you might interpret lecha meaning for you and not for future generations. Well, if that's how you darshan the pasuk, elameata, it says a similar expression in the case of the holy ark, the aroin abris. It says, v'asisa lecha aroin eitz. And you see in this pasuk the word lecha, hachi nami de lecha velo ledoros. Are you to think that the holy ark that Moshe Rabbeinu made was for him and not for future generations? That's rude. That's absolutely not so. Ela, rather, we have to explain why is it that the chatzotzros were not for future generations. So the Gemara makes a reference to two approaches to the word lecha in the case of the chatzotzros. And once we see these two approaches, we'll understand why it's limited. Ela, I lemanda omar lecha, mishelcha, I lemanda omar kiviyochol, bishelcha ani roitze yoser mishelahem. The word lecha in the case of the chatzotzros is not coming to tell me for you and not for future generations, but rather it's coming to tell me that it should be made from your own possessions, your own money, mishalcha, from your own personal finances and not from public funds. Or there's another approach that says that the trumpets that Moshe Rabbeinu made were something very beloved to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So by the same token, Hai Nami, in the case of the Oron, Mi Boyale, Lohachi, you would need the Pasuk of V'asisa Lecha, Aron I ate, for the same possibilities. So the question is, why is it that the Chatzotzros of Moshe Rabbeinu were not suitable for future generations? So the Gemara answers, Shiny Hasam. The case of Chatzotzros is different. The Omar Kro Lecha Lecha Tre Zimni. There is a double Lecha expression. The doubling of the expression is what, in effect, tells me that the Chatzotzros are limited. And where are the what is the double expression? You have Asay Lecha, and you also have a pasuk that says V'hoyu Lecha. So between these two psukim, you see Lecha repeated twice, and it's the repetition and not the explanation of the word Lecha that teaches that the Chatzotzos of Moshe were for him only and not for future generations. As we continue in the Gemara, we might as well point out that we are about to learn a very long sukya. On the outside margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading, Asiyas HaMenorah uvehemshich Sha'ar Klei Shores Mi Chomerim Shonim. We will talk about the making of the menorah, and as we go on in the sukya, there will be a reference to other items being made from different kinds of materials. The point we just made about other kinds of materials, there will be a brisa later on that starts off with the expression klei shores, shason, shel eitz, etc. But the focus of our Gemara really revolves around the menorah. So as we mentioned, we will discuss at length the idea of other kinds of materials for the production, for the manufacture of the menorah. The mivneh heading, in this case, is a bit elaborate. We feature a diamond. In the Gemara text, you'll notice there are two diamonds. They introduce two brises, shnei brises, chalukos, two brises that are in effect arguing with one another. In other words, you'll see information of almost contradictory nature between these two brises. Shebohem Cholkin Rebbe Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda. In each one of these two brises, there will be a machlokas Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda. Beinyan, regarding the issue of Ezech Chomrim Reuim Litzios HaMenorah, which materials are suitable for the making of the menorah. The Psichas Hadiyun, at the opening of this discussion, Rav Papa Mitzate Braisa Benochichus Rav Yosef. Rav Papa will be quoting a Braisa in the presence of Rav Yosef. Bahem Shech, in the continuation of the Gemara, Rav Yosef Doiche Es Mekuru Shor Rav Papa Betzi Tuto Braisa Acheres. Later, Rav Yosef will attempt to reject Rav Papa's source by quoting a different brisa, Vahainu Ma Shesimanu, and we will notice this dynamic in the Gemara by noting this trapezoid form, this volcano shape, which we call Ma'akav. So that after we learn the first brisa and a few lines of Gemara, you'll notice this shape appears more or less across from here in the Gemara text itself, which represents the word Sami means to delete. Rav Yosef Doiche. So with the narrow part of the volcano facing upwards is an attempt on Rav Yosef's part to suggest delete. Then this shape will flip over. That represents Teguvas Rav Papa. That's Rav Papa reacting to Rav Yosef's suggestion. But then you'll see it flips over again, whereby Rav Yosef comes back with his point, and Rav Yosef ends up rejecting the Rav Popa source. Furthermore, in the course of the Gemara, we want everyone to take note of the word eitz, eitz meaning wood, and we've highlighted this word with a crown shape. Ha'hevdeil bein ha'makuros shel Rav Popa v'Rav Yosef, she is currently ill, the difference between the sources, between Rav Popa, the Rav Popa's cited source and Rav Yosef's source, the main difference, b'ma'amodoi shel eitz, with regard to the status of wood, k'choymer gelem la'asiyas ha'menorah, as serving as raw material for the making of the menorah. Uma shitosam shel Rebbe v'Rabbi Yosi v'Rabbi Yehuda regarding this, and the difference between the sources, as we mentioned before, that the sources are in effect arguing with one another regarding eitz as a possibility, and the positions of Rebbe and Rabbi Yosi on this topic. There will be an additional marking that we'll want to mention later on when we get to it, the double underline with dots in it. In the meantime, let's just go over the basic strategy of the Gemara. You see a diamond that we're about to read, introducing a Tanaic source quoted by Rav Papa. Later in the Gemara, Rav Yosef will say, you know, I have a different source that should be accepted over your source. And the Gemara will then continue explaining the reasoning behind the sources or the explanation of the shitas in the sources. And finally, there will be an attempt on Rav Papa's part to answer back to Rav Yosef, even though it's very brief. And Rav Yosef eventually comes back and insists on accepting source number 2 as being more accurate. Turning to the Gemara. Tani Rav Papa Rei Rav Chonin Kamei Rav Yosef. Rav Papa teaches the following Tanaic source. Menorah hoisa bo mino eshes min hazav. The menorah was made from a single mass, a solid mass, and a gold, a single mass of gold. Asa'a shel kesef ksheira. If it happened to be made of silver, it would be acceptable. Shel batz v'shel avor v'shel gisteron. These are names. Batz, avor, and gisteron are names of other kinds of less significant or insignificant types of metals. With regard to this, Rebbe posa Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Here you see a Tanaic controversy between Rebbe and Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, where Rebbe is restrictive and Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda allowing. Shel eitz. It goes without saying how we've broken this Tanaic source into four parts, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, and Dalet. Here we're at the fourth section. Shel eitz, v'shel etzim, v'shel zvuchis. If you use wood, bone material, or glass, divrei hakol psula. With our markings, we've attempted to emphasize key expressions that will be useful later in the Gemara. We mentioned, we were highlighting the word eitz, and also we dashed underlined Divrei HaKol, where according to this source, these materials, Eitz, Etzem, and Zchuchis, according to everybody, would be unacceptable. If we just skip ahead a moment to source number 2, if you skim down a couple lines, you'll see a diamond. You'll also see Eitz in a crown form. And the word Eitz there is followed by Rebbe Posa, Rebbe Yosi, Rebbe Yehuda, Machshir. And you'll notice we've dashed underlined the names Rebbe and Rebbe Yosi Yehuda so as to enable you to immediately contrast source number 2 with what we see here in source number 1. Whereas in source number 1, Eitz is classified as Divrei HaKol Psula, everyone rejects it. In source number 2, Eitz will be in fact something that Rebbe Yosi Rebbe Yehuda actually accepts. Let's go back now to the Gemara at the end of source 1. Omar Lei, Mai Daitoch. So Rav Yosef asks Rav Papa, what is your understanding of this, that Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda was machshir other kinds of metals and rejects wood? Omar Lei. So Rav Papa answers, Bein Mor, Ubein Mor. whether it be Rebbe or Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda, Kloli Uproti Darshi. Their approach to the Psukim, they both accept, is through the Klal Uprat method of Drosha. You'll notice that we've double underlined this expression, Kloli Uproti, with dots in it. That's a double special kind of double underline. And this is to be noted as the subject of discussion later in the Gemara as well, where the issue of who darshins the psukim in which way, later we will see that, unlike this approach, later in the Gemara we'll see that only Rebbe darshins the psukim in the klal uprat fashion, whereas Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda will approach psukim with the ribui umiut approach. These are two different approaches how to learn, how to derive additional information from psukim. So, according to Rav Papa, both Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda darshan using the klal uprat method. And, however, there is still a controversy. Mihu Mor Savar, Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda says, Maha Prat Mefurosh Shalmateches, Af Kol Shalmateches. Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda's approach to the Prat, we should mention, Klal Upratu Klal, in effect, is a, where you have a general statement, then a limiting statement or an example, and then a following general statement. How the fact that general statements or terms appear in a pasuk tells me, or allows me to expand the examples beyond the singular example that's cited in the pasuk itself. So that the question right now is, or the difference between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi Buddha is, how far to expand the example, which in this case is gold. So he explains, Rav Pop explains, that Mor Sovar, that's Rabbi Yossi Bibuda will tell you, Ma Prat Mefura Shel Mateches, Af Kol Shel Mateches. He will tell you that it was Rabbi Yossi Bibuda who allowed insignificant metals. He says, just like gold is a metal, so too, and gold is the Prat, the example, since we are entitled to expand that to other things, he says, let's expand it to include all kinds of metals, being that they have in common with gold the fact that they are metallic. Umor Savar, Rebbe, on the other hand, who was in this machlokas, who was restrictive, says, Maha Prat Mefurosh Dover Choshuv, just like the example, which is gold, is not only is it metal, but it's a significant type metal. Af Kol Dover Choshuv. So too, anything that you want to include in this has to have that characteristic of the gold, in that it's significant, that's an expensive type of metal. Well, with that, we can include silver, but we're not going to include the other cheap kind of metals that were alluded to in the source. So, to summarize, or to review, Rav Papa tells us that the Machlokas, Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi Buda, concerns how far to expand the Prat in the Pasuk, the word Zahav. However, both agree that the approach to the Pasuk is called the Klal Uprat method. Omar Lay, Rav Yosef, now responds to Rav Papa and says, Sami didoch mekami didi. Let us delete your source in favor of my source. We will see a source very shortly with Rebbe and Rav Yosef Bibida arguing, and you'll notice very quickly, we pointed it out actually earlier, the difference between the Rav Yosef source, namely number 2, and the Rav Papa source, number 1. So what does Rav Yosef's source say, which he prefers? Desanya, Kli Shares Shason Shel Eitz, service vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, and we will of course include the menorah in this category, that were made of wood. Rebbe Posel Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda Machshir. What did we say in the previous source? When it comes to wood, everyone declares it unfit. In this source, Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda declares wood to be actually acceptable. The question here is, how does one come to saying that wood is acceptable? After all, the pasuk that describes the making of the menorah cites as the material gold. How in the world can you jump from gold all the way to include even wood? That will be explained in the ensuing lines. What's the point of, or the underlying machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosi Buda? When we say the underlying machlokas, what we see in the source is we see the outcome of their machlokas. The outcome being the acceptability or unacceptability of wood. But what's the underlying basis of the machlokas? So the Gemara explains, Rebbe Dorish Kloli Uproti, Rebbe Yosi Rebbe Yuda Dorish Ribui Umiuti. Kloli Uproti we referred to before as a method of darshaning psukim. Rebbe Yosi Rebbe Yuda introduces a new method that we haven't mentioned before called the Ribui Umiut method. Let us say just a very brief word about these two approaches. The Klal Uprat method allows for expanding beyond the example cited in the Torah. However, when you expand, you are somewhat limited in how much you can include beyond the example of the Torah. So if you say the example is gold, you can include other materials, but the question, and we saw this discussed before, how much more can you include? If, however, you adopt the Ribui Umiut approach to darshaning psukim, that enables you to include a lot more than the Klal Uprat method of darshaning. So, we continue in the Gemara. Rebbe Dorish Kloli Uproti. You can see with the markings, we've circled Rebbe and double underlined the Dorish Kloli Uproti expression. If you just jump ahead a little bit, you can see where we've circled his Bar Plukta, namely the one who argues with him, Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yuda, and we've double underlined his method of Drasha. And each section will present the pasuk itself and its appropriate description. So the Rebbe, we said, he darshins Dorish Kloli Uproti. We're citing pasuk Lamed Aleph of Perik Chof Hei. We already noted this pasuk on Omed Aleph, where we wrote it inside into the margin of the Gemara. So here the Gemara will break down the pasuk in the Klal Uprat fashion. The Osisa Menorah, that is a klal, that's a general expression. In other words, there's an instruction, make a menorah, not telling me, not limiting me so much, since it's called a klal. Klal meaning a general idea. Zohavtar, the pasuk uses that expression, pure gold, that's prat, that's already limiting me. I have an instruction to make a menorah, and then the Torah tells me, limits me, how or with what material. The pasuk says, miksha te'ase ha-menorah, chozar ve'kolal. The pasuk continues to use the expression te'ase ha-menorah, which is a general expression. As far as materials are concerned, it's not limiting. So we call that a klal. So the style of the pasuk is you have a sandwich type style. Klal uprat uklal. It opens with a general comment. It then in the middle limits you to the material, and then again a general comment. When you have a setup like that, we say I atodon elo ke'en haprat. You judge this or you conclude from it only in order to conclude or include from this pasuk things that are I atodon elo ke'en haprat, only things that are similar to the example. Ma haprat mefurush shel matechas, just like the prat, the example in this, the prat is in this case gold, is explicitly a metal, af kol shel matecha. So to anything else you want to use, it must be metallic. But we certainly can exclude wood being non-metallic. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yuda Dorish Ribui Umiuti. He takes a different approach to the pasuk. He doesn't use the term klal pratu klal, but rather ribui miuti v'ribui. The term ribui means include. And we explained before that the power of ribui, miuti ribui, is to include more than the klal prat uklal method. And as we did before, we break down the pasuk using this method. V'yosisa menoras equals riba. That's an inclusive expression. Zohav tahar mi'eit. That's a limiting expression. It limits you to gold. Mikshotel samenora chazav riba. And then once again, the Gemara, the pasuk concludes with an inclusive comment. So how have we set up the pasuk? It's riba umi'eit v'riba. Riba hakol. In effect, we can include any kind of material. Umay ravi, what is included? Ravi kol mili, anything. Use any material. On the other hand, there happens to be a mi'ut. Mi'ut means a restrictive expression, namely the example. That means that even though we just got finished saying include everything, you can include almost everything. There's got to be something that's excluded. Umay mi'eit, what is excluded? Mi'eit shacheres. The cheres being clay. Rashi points out that clay is such an insignificant material that not only for the Kodesh Baruch Hu is it unworthy, but even for a human king it would be unfit. It would be unfitting to make a candelabra for even a human king made of clay. So as a result of this approach, riboy mitu v'riboy, we can include way beyond gold and even beyond metals to include wood. If we have to exclude something, and we do, so we exclude the most unlikely or the most unfit material, and that's clay. But let us say anything above clay, all the way up to gold, will be acceptable. At this point, then, Rav Yosef, in effect, finished his initial presentation, his choosing source number two over the approach Rav Papa took. But yet, Adarabo, Rav Papa comes back to Rav Yosef and says, well, just the opposite. Sami didoch, mekami didi. Let us discount your source in favor of my source. However, the Gemara responds in favor of Rav Yosef, and you can see with the markings, with the narrow part of this volcano shape facing up, if you refer back to the key, you can see this is a Rav Yosef doing the rejecting. Therefore, lo sakadaitach, we're not going to accept the Rav Papa source. Desanya, we have another source. In fact, there will be two sources. We have a long marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara to show how long this piece of Gemara is regarding the strengthening of Rav Yosef's source. We will see two sources. Once again, with the markings, we will be emphasizing with the crown marking the word eitz. And you will see in these sources that eitz is an option for the making of the menorah. Whether it be, even though it may be Reb Yossi Reb Yehuda's opinion, but nevertheless, it is an option in Tanoim. That shows, unlike the Rav Papa source, where when you saw eights featured in source 1, and you can always refer back to it, notice how we had dashed, underlined, Divrei HaKol Psula. So we have so many more sources indicating that eights is acceptable, at least according to one opinion. That is sufficient grounds to show that we ought to delete or disregard Rav Papa's source, in which it was indicated that everybody would reject wood. Now, the Gemara. So we said, lo sakadaitoch, don't entertain the possibility of accepting Rav Papa's source, desanya, because we have the following source which contradicts what Rav Papa's source claimed. The source says, ein lo zahav, if they don't have gold, maybe af shel kesef, shel nechoshes, shel barzel, v'shel bedil, v'shel oferes, if they don't have gold, they can bring silver, nechoshes, iron, bedil is a type of another kind of metal, and oferes, another type of metal. Sometimes you'll see the word bedil translated as tin and oferes as lead, but for our purposes, all you really have to note is that they're alternative metals to gold. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Machshiraf, Bishel Eitz, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda accepts even wood. And you can see we've marked Eitz and noted Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's name, and you can see how we've also dashed, underlined the Machshir. This is all with the intention of enabling you to contrast this with the Rav Papa source above. V'tanya Idah, we have another source. This source tells us a halacha that one should not make exact replicas of things that were in the Beis Hamikdash. The topic is a very interesting topic in and of itself. However, in view of the limitations of our shiur, we want to focus on the reference to the making of the menorah from wood. That is the main purpose of site of bringing in this source. So even though the other topics mentioned here are very interesting, we must conform to our somewhat limited situation. So the next source says, Lo yase odom bayis tavnis hechal. One should not make a house with the same dimensions. Rashi points out the length, the width, and the height. One should not make a house with the same dimensions as the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash. Likewise, Achsadra keneged Ulam. One should not make an Achsadra as a type of, we'll call it a porch. It's a structure that is an entrance to a house that's essentially open on one of its four sides. An open porch, if you will. Open meaning open on one side and closed on three sides. So one should not make a porch, an achsadra, an entranceway that is corresponds to the dimensions of the ulam. The ulam was a type of entranceway leading to the heichal of the Beis HaMikdash. Chotzer keneged azora. Likewise, he should not make a courtyard with the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash courtyard. Shulchan keneged shulchan. Menorah keneged menorah. We just learned here that not only one should not make a shulchan similar to the shulchan of the Beis HaMikdash, the table that held the lechem upon him. Likewise, one should not make a candelabra that is similar to the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. Aval, oisehu, well, maybe we should point out the candelabra of the Beis HaMikdash, the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash was a seven-branched menorah. However, if one wants to make a candelabra with a number other than seven branches, that would be okay. Aval oisehu shel chamisha v'shel shisha, five branch, six branch, v'shel shmoina, eight branch, v'shel sheva lo yaseh. But seven branched do not make. V'afilu mishar minei matchas, even if you use something other than gold, even from other kinds of metals. And the reason for that is because that would have been acceptable in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer af shel eitz lo yaaseh. Even a seven-branched wooden menorah one should not make kederach she'asu malchei Beis Chashmonai. Because in fact, when the Beis Chashmonai, which was during the Hanukkah period of time, during the second Beis HaMikdash, after the Greek armies were vanquished and the Jews rededicated their Beis HaMikdash, they put in the Beis Chashmonai, who were the leaders of the time. They set up a wooden seven-branched menorah. And since that was an acceptable menorah, we who are instructed not to make replicas of that which was in the Beis HaMikdash, we are instructed do not make an exact replica of a wooden seven-branch menorah. Suffice it to say, we see from here that wood was an acceptable material, which once again is counter to the source number one that was quoted above by Rav Papa. Amru lo, the Rabbanan spoke to Rav Yossi Rebuda and said, Misham Raya, from, we should point out that the Tanakama limited you to other kinds of metals. They were not willing to include wood. Rabbi Yossi Rabuda wanted to say that even wood would have been an acceptable material for a menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, and Rabbi Yossi Rabuda cited the Beis HaShemeroi as precedent. They said back to Rabbi Yossi Rabuda, namely the Tanakhama, the first opinion, said to him, Misham Raya, from there you're trying to bring proof, namely from the Beis HaShemeroi, wrong. Shpudim Shel Barzel Hoyu. What really was, it were branches made of metal, of iron. The chipum bebaats, the iron branches were covered with a baats material. Apparently, baats gave maybe a wood impression. By the way, one might find in other Gemaras a different girsa, a different version of this particular line, but as far as our edition is concerned, it's presented as it is. So we are explaining that the iron branch menorah that the Beis HaShemeroi made according to the Tanakhama was in fact iron branched and covered with baatz material. That may have given a wood look to it, but it certainly was not wood. He'eshiru, in the course of time, they became wealthier. There was more money available. Asom shokesef. They made the branches, they made the menorah into silver. They made it out of silver. Chozer v'shiru asom shel zav. When they even got into more funds, they were able to make a golden menorah for the Beis HaMikdash. At this point, we've basically come to the end of this sukya that started on the upper part of the page with the first diamond, so you can see that Rav Papa presented his Tanaic source in which wood was rejected by all authorities. Rav Yosef presented his source that indicated wood was not rejected by all authorities, and as the Gemara unfolded, we gave much more strength to Rav Yosef's source by citing additional sources where you saw a Tanaic authority accepting wood as a possible material for the menorah construction, counter to the source that Rav Papa had cited rejecting wood according to everybody. At this point, the Gemara has a new topic within the realm of the menorah. In the outside margin, we've indicated the nosei heading, Ti'ur HaMenorah, a description of the menorah will be presented, Gova, the height, Ushar Prita, and a reference to other appurtenances that were part of the menorah. For our purposes, though we are not going to get into any very vivid descriptions, there are many other sources that one can look into for pictures, illustrations, and real-life models of these elements. Omar Shmuel Mishmei de Saba. Shmuel cites Saba is a reference to an elderly man or a man of distinction, and says the following. Gova shel menorah shmoina asor tvochim. The height of the menorah was 18 tvochim. Before we go further, you'll notice we have a little star here. This draws your attention to the inside margin where you see a diagram, and we've indicated siur, this diagram, rak litzorach midois goiva. The purpose of this is only to illustrate dimensions of height. Yud ches tvochim, 18 tvochim. Crude illustration that yours truly drew in is only for height purposes. And we've indicated to the side of the diagram with numbers, and that numbers which are indicating numbers of tfachim, handbreadths, that correspond to every point mentioned in the Gemara. So you can actually navigate by holding one finger on the diagram and one finger in the Gemara text and work your way up, because the Gemara presents the height of the menorah starting from the base, working your way up. We're hopefully going to reach a total of 18 tefachim, just like was mentioned in this opening comment. So that Shmuel tells us that the menorah had a height of 18 tefachim. At the end of the line, you see a colon indicating that now we will get into the details. How do you get to 18 tefachim? So the Gemara continues. Haraglayim vaperach gimel tefachim. That means from the base, the legs and the flower design constitute or account for the first three tefachim. Utfachayim cholok, and you continue up, is tefachayim with nothing other than the basic trunk or main branch of the main, the center stem of the menorah. Two tefachim cholok, cholok meaning without anything added to it, just a, it might have been a pole in effect. The tefach, and now one tefach, an additional tefach, sheboy gvia kaftor v'ferach. Within that one tefach, as we're now at basically the fifth tefach from the bottom, the fifth handbreadth from the bottom, in that one handbreadth there was a gvia, kaftor, and perach. These are three different kinds of designs. Continuing further up, utfochayim cholak, two of simple straight menorah brand pole without any added designs. Another, the tefach kaftor, there was a kaftor shape accounting for one tefach. Now at this point, at this kaftor point, two branches branch out from the center stem of the menorah, and the Gemara mentions that ushne konim yoytsim mimenu, there are two branches that come forth from this kaftor. Echod elach, the echod elach, one to this side and the other to that side. V'nim shachin v'oilin keneged gova shel menorah, and they continue up till the height, the maximum height of the menorah. In other words, they start from this particular point of menorah height, which, by the way, is the ninth tefach from the bottom. If you count up the numbers, just going starting from the bottom and looking at the chart, you can see 3. Plus 2 is 5, plus 1 is 6, plus 2 is 8, you get to this kaftor is 9, which, by the way, is the halfway mark of the total height of the menorah. So from this ninth tefach point, you have your first branching taking place, but the top of this branch will reach the 18 tefach mark. Continuing in the Gemara, v'tefach cholok, we go above the kaftor, one more tefach of halak, v'tefach kaftor, and you hit the next kaftor shape or design. From this also two branches emerge, u'shnei konim yoytsim imenu echod elach v'echod elach, nimshochim v'oilin keneged gova shel menorah, and they nimshochim, they continue rising to the eventual height of the menorah. Continuing in the following up on the central stem, the tefach chalak, the tefach kaftor, and once again we encounter this kaftor and two more branches. We'll call them the fifth and sixth branches emerge from this kaftor. Ushnei konim yotzim imenu echad elach v'echad elach v'nim shachin v'oilin keneged gova shelman, are the same term we've seen already twice before. Continuing on the central stem, utfochayim chalak. Nishtairusham, this leaves us with the final three tefachim. Nishtairusham gimel tefachim, shebohem, if within these three tefachim you have gimel gvim v'kaftor, there are three gvim forms, a kaftor and a perach. Now the Gemara, through words, attempts to explain what these different designs look like. Ugvian lema hindomen, what are the gvian like? What do they resemble? Answer, kamin koisois alexandrium, they look like Alexandrian goblets. They are described as being elongated type goblets. Kaftorim lema hindomen, what is the kaftor shape look like? What does it remind you of? Kamin tapuchei ha kresayim. Tapuche sometimes is translated as an apple, so you get the feeling that it's a type of round shape. Tapuche is a type of fruit coming from the place called Kresayim. Kresayim is the name of a place. Prochim lema heim domin, what are the prochim shape look like? The word prochim, generally speaking, is translated as flowers. So what does it look like? Kamin pirche hu amudim. They are like the flower shapes that are included on pillars. It might be similar to the capitals of different pillars that one sees even today. whatever the case is, it's a flower shape that was associated in a common form with pillars. So when the Gemara presents it this way, it could be understood. Then Nimtzu. Now the Gemara takes accounting of the numbers of the different shapes that were on the Gemara. And we've indicated this under our new topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei, Misparam Shel, the number of Gvim, 22, Kaftorim, 11, and Prochim, 9, Shel HaMenorah. The all of these were on the menorah. So the Gemara explains, or takes accounting, Vinimtsu, and it comes out, Gvim, Esra Mishnayim, there were 22 Gvim, Kaftorim, 11 Kaftorim, Prochim, Tisha, 9 Prochim shapes. Gvim, Ma'akvin, Ze'ezeh. If we mention that there were 22 Gvim, you've got to have all 22. They're all binding. The lacking of one would ruin the menorah, would render it unfit. That's what Ma'akvin means. Kaftorim, Ma'akvin, Ze'ezeh. Prochim, Ma'akvin, Ze'ezeh. Gvim, Kaftorim, Uprochim, Ma'akvin, Ze'ezeh. And this is telling you that not only the numbers are Ma'akev with regard to each one, but each shape must be present on the menorah at the same time. Bishlamo Gvim, this marking is used. We have an indicator on the outside margin of the Mivneh heading. This house form highlights the words Gvim, Kaftorim, Uprochim. And here we're going to be involved with a biur be'inyan hamispar. Just a clarification regarding the numbers of these items. So, bishlamo gvim esrim ushnayim tiktiv. I understand that there were 22 gvim. The pasuk says as follows: uva menorah arbo gvim uksiv shloisha gvim meshukadim bekona echot kaftor verach. That's the pasuk. In this pasuk, there was a mention of 3 gvim on each branch. So we've noted that 6 times 3 would be 18. Now, the Gemara goes over these numbers. Arba dida, we mentioned the 4, that was in the first pasuk of Nor Arba gvim. That's 4 of the, maybe we'll refer to that, dida, meaning the main branch of the main trunk of the menorah, main stem, and then the tamni sori dekonim, and the 18 of the branches. So you have the central stem of the menorah and the 6 additional branches. Ha esrin v'tarti. So 4 and 18 accounts for 22. Kaftorim nami achadosor kaftorim. There were 11 kaftorim. Tre dida, 2 of the main branch. Veshisha dekonim. And 6 kaftorim that are accounted for by each branch. The kaftor, the kaftor, the kaftor. And these 3 more kaftors that are referred to in the psukim. That ha chatzor, that will give you a total of 11. Ela. Elo prochim tisha minolan prochim. How do you account for that? Tre dida, there are 2 prochim of the main stem, vishisha dekonim, and 6 of the branches, tamni havu. That accounts for only 8. Omar of Shaman. Rav Shaman answers, if you're missing one, we found it here. Ksiv, the pasuk says, ad yurecha, ad pircha, Mikshahi. So the reference to Pircha in this pasuk is in fact an additional perach. Omar Rav, Gova Shel Menorah. Rav claims that the height of the menorah, Tisha Tvachim, was 9 Tvachim. This of course runs counter to what we've learned before. We had a number 18. Rav mentions 9. Eisvei Rav Simi Barchiel Rav. Rav Simi raises a kasha question on Rav from a Tanaic source. We couldn't obviously ask from what we saw before. That was what we saw in the Gemara at the bottom of Chof Chesam and Beis was a piece of Gemara cited by Shmuel. That wouldn't be sufficient, sufficient power with which to ask on Rav. Rav was the preeminent Amora of all time. You wouldn't ask on Rav from a teaching of Shmuel. However, from a Tanaic source, one can ask a question. In this source, it says, Evan hoisa lifnei menorah. There was a stone in front of the menorah. Uba shalosh malos. On this stone, or from the stone, there was carved out three steps. Shalah kohen oimedu metiv esaneros. The kohen would ascend these three steps, and while standing on that, he would take care of the neros. He would clean out the wicks. He would light the menorah while standing on this pedestal or this stair setup. What's the question? If the menorah was only 9 handbreadths, that's a very low type of vessel. You wouldn't need stairs to stand on in order to care for it. So you see from the fact that there were stairs for the kohen to stand on, the menorah must have been more than 9 tefachim. Amar lei, Rav answers, simi at? Are you simi? Ki ko'amino, when I said 9 tefachim, I wasn't telling you the total height of the menorah. Misfas konim ulamala. I was simply referring to from the point of the menorah that the branches start to branch out till the top. You have 9 tefachim. And we mentioned this earlier when we were studying the Gemara at the bottom of Chof Chesam and Beis, and looking at the diagram, you will notice that the point at which the branches of the menorah start, in fact, is 9 tefachim from the bottom. And since the menorah reached a total of 18 tefachim, the height accounted for by the branching is an additional 9 tefachim, and that's what Rav was referring to. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.